Hi, everybody. It's your old friend Satan here again. You know, it's such an honor to be introducing my favorite podcast on all the hot, new, high-tech innovations in worldwide evil doing. Seriously, whether it's websites crashing, screwed up load balancers, or messed up routing topologies, you know, James will cover it all on the next edition of The News of the Damned.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, it's Beavis and Butthead every time for me, really.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
I feel so sorry for Larry. I really do. Yeah. It's just crazy on his end.
Exactly. Hey, this is unusual. We're on a Saturday. I'm on the episode.
Yeah, so everyone, welcome to Saturday Perf Bites. This is your host, James Pulley, and it looks like we have Mr. Eric Pregler, who's online, and Mark Tomlinson will be joining us any moment. You heard him there just a moment ago, and it looks like he dropped, and he'll be back. But we have a wide variety of stories for you today, and let's see if that's Mark. Mark, is that you?
Yeah, that was nice. That just
he's back.
He's back.
Yeah,
so it's Mark.
Online.
It's Mark and Eric. Eric, thank you for getting up early on the West Coast.
Early, as we call it on the West Coast. But we start a little later than the East Coast.
Yeah.
That works. Yeah. All right. It's Saturday.
It is, in fact, Saturday. And we have really no announcements right now.
Potentially. No announcements.
Yeah. We just, email us at newsofthedamned@perfbytes.com. We do have a few sponsors that we need to talk about for our show, Neotis and Apica Systems. So Neotis develops NeoLoad, the fastest and most automated load testing tool on the market, design and maintain load tests 10 times faster than with any other tools. So performance testing smoothly fits in Agile and DevOps. Learn more at www.neotis.com. And Apica System, companies such as HBO, Activision, and Salesforce trust Apica with their high-scale load testing and synthetic monitoring. If you can build it, Apica can test and monitor it. For more information on Apica's offerings, please visit their website at Apica System. That's APICASystem.com. Be sure and thank both of these organizations for sponsoring News of the Damned and bringing this information to you and our industry.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Apica Systems, people might not understand that they might know them only as Zebra Tester.
True.
The product. There's a huge community, more popular in Europe, I think. But yeah, Zebra Tester. If you're a Zebra Tester...
Do you mean popular in Europe as Zebra Tester?
Zebra Tester, yeah. Or whatever the... What is it? Are they Swedish? Is Apica Swedish?
I'm not certain.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think of where Daniel's from, but the California thing. But Apica, yeah. So Zebra Tester.
Excellent. Yeah. And of course, we do have to acknowledge our, our stalking partner, GT Metrics.
GT Metrics.
Yeah.
Are they a partner? Are they really stalking us? Because no.
We're stalking them.
Yeah, and it's I've never seen. I don't think the restraining order was real. I thought it was. They sort of just one of those threatening letters. Like, we're threatening to have a restraining order. I just kind of threw it in the garbage.
Yeah,
I don't understand. We speak very kindly of them. We really do. I didn't understand that whole letter, but
that is.
Anyway, back to announcements. We've got. Very few, so if you have a story, please email us at NOTD at perfbytes.com or hashtag #NOTD on the Twitter, or let us know on Facebook or other venues where we're located at. We do have just a few conferences coming up. We have Fall STPCon, which is going to be in the Washington, D.C. area. I believe it's late September at National Harbor, I think. Yep. Mark, have you got anything coming up you want to chat about?
Nothing. I think I'm going to be in St. Louis. July 18th or 19th, there's a CMG, the Mullen Award. I've done a couple of visits that have been great in Boston. And so there's another one in St. Louis is the other one I have on the calendar. And then, of course, we can tell folks, I think New Orleans we've talked about CMG is Impact, the big worldwide conference for them. The thing is happening in New Orleans in November. It's a long ways off. Plenty of time to plan for that one.
Yep.
And then Test Bash is that same week. So unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to make CMG because I'll be busy doing Test Bash. But Eric, I think we were talking with the folks from HP that you might be around down there during Velocity in Santa Clara, and that's next month, right?
Well, it's one of those things where it's right outside my door. I can hardly miss it. Yes, the middle of June. But before that, in the middle of May, I'll be going to Let's Test in Runo, Sweden.
The last Let's Test that ever will be in Sweden.
Oh, is it? Is it really?
I don't know. Probably.
That's part of the reason I'm there.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's so much fun that you change your mind when you're there, then you're going to do it again.
It may not be the last Let's Test. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that would be cool. Let's Test would be fun. I can't think of, a few meetups. We got the Ministry of Testing meetup happening here in Philly, and they popped up. We went from having like a handful of total automation geeks to having like hundreds of people sign up. Some of them not even from our area, but they want to be tuned in if they're in the States. So we have some social meetups. We have like next Wednesday, there's a beer drinking social networking meetup. There's, we don't have a few more coming on. So, yeah.
And let's not online.
Jace from Maryland. Welcome. He's on the chat with me here.
And let's not forget, we do have the barbecue coming up at the end of August. Stay tuned for that. It will be on the West Coast. We're still getting logistics information. But if you are anywhere near the Portland, Oregon area, just plan on late August barbecue. And the more participants, the better. We might have to do like a little... East Coast versus West Coast. I don't think anyone's going to get killed like they do in the record industry for these types of events.
Yeah. That's a totally different. And of course, Cowboys versus Indians. I mean, if you go back a couple hundred years.
I think East Coast versus West Coast. That's just good enough. Works,
The manifest destiny is sort of over. Now it's fear of globalization and things like that, right?
No. I'm just East Coast versus West Coast. That's just how I'm wired.
Well, it's really everyone in the barbecue world against North Carolina.
And everyone else is wrong. Yeah.
It does sound like it's almost a fair fight. Does the rest of the world need to also add the Philippines maybe?
We could certainly do that. Do a 24/7 barbecue, see who wins. It might be a little bit difficult to get a sample to all the judges on a timely basis. But, I'm game.
Follow the Sun barbecue competition. 24 hours virtual barbecue. Oh my God, that's a brilliant idea. I like it.
Actually, it would be follow the tasty smelly smoke.
Follow the smoke.
So and that's I have a question. Remember you've read about the Around the World in 80 Days race? Why hasn't somebody done a Follow the Sun for 24 hours thing? I mean, it seems like with enough of a budget, it's something you could do. It would make way more sense to going to some festival in the Bahamas or whatever. If you caught the right flights, could you stay?
I think that would be very difficult from a speed perspective, unless you had a military aircraft.
Yeah, because traveling.
Essentially, you would be somewhat geosynchronous between the Earth and the Sun, and... I think speed wise that'd be difficult.
Yeah, I'm just like Google 460 meters per second. That's the rotation of the sun of the Earth. So you'd have to, Eric. You might have to travel 460 meters per second.
I suppose you could go to a higher latitude and it'd be possible to do something. I'm just my heart's going out to Richard Branson. I mean, what more is there left for him to do?
Yeah, he did the balloon thing, and then Steve, what's his name? He disappeared,
Yeah. True.
But it's 1,000 miles an hour. Like you'd have to,
At the equator.
That's right. You could just sort of turn around in the circle if you're north. Yeah, pick the right latitude. That might be easier to do. Yep. So if you did it at the right latitude, about halfway between the equator and a pole, then it's only 500 miles an hour. You could do that in a normal aircraft.
Yeah.
All right. We got that figured out. Thanks for joining News of the Damned, folks.
Yes, we discuss such interesting topics. We kind of run into them. It's like tangential speech. here. So with that in mind,
conversation three guys would have standing in front of a barbecue grill.
So wait a minute. So hang on a second. So this I haven't seen Jace join us on a chat here, and he or she it's hard to tell. Doesn't matter. They're on the chat with me, and they pointed out here, I'm driving an ice cream truck. It's nice to hear normal discussion over this ice cream music any day.
That's fantastic.
That's a first. That's a first for us. I don't think we ever had any ice cream related website outages.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No,
dairy related. There was a cheese. We've had a cheese one.
We have had a cheese outage.
Cheese outage. So that is tangentially related to the.
But we haven't had like a Baskin Robbins or Schwann's or anyone like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Kemp's is the other Kemp's ice cream. That was a good one.
No, hold on. We did have one in Texas. Ice cream. I'm trying to think of the brand.
I'm gonna search right now through the. It's a Google Drive. I don't know. You guys don't use this Google thing. It's amazing. You can like just do a search of your whole drive.
And yeah, they had like cream. They had like a Listeria outbreak, and then they came back.
Unfortunately, that's a very nice ice cream company. In fact, their ice cream is so good, I hardly want to name them. But they're called Jenny's.
No, I don't think it was Jenny's.
Oh, was it Blue?
It was Bluebell. Yeah, we did have a Bluebell outage.
Yeah.
A Bluebell outage.
But it wasn't related to ice cream, though, was it?
No. It was related to people finding out where the when they came back after their service hiatus, where to find Bluebell.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. But the only other ice cream related tangential thing is Bob Westcott, who in his very leisurely retirement from being a guru author and performance engineer man, works at Ben & Jerry's.
Yes, which is odd because they don't like him trying to improve output.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be optimizing the queue, get more tours happening per second, but lots of free ice cream, and that was pretty good. If you can go back, I forget what episode that was. It was in 2014, I think we had him on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna Bob Westcott. I'm gonna look it up here.
Oh, well, you're doing Westcott. That. I'm really happy to have Jace with us, and the David Lee Ross song is playing in my head about the ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by.
Yeah. Episode 46, Bob Westcott's Every Computer Performance Book. We had a great chat with Bob.
We did.
He's a really funny guy. So go back and check out episode 46. Put that in your queue. That'll be fun. Hey, Tim Western's with us too. Hey, Tim, welcome to Saturday. Yeah. Saturday Bites, ice cream bites. I think we'll call them ice cream bites. Jace, let us know if there's anything in your truck that has like bites, some sort of.
Oh, that's
cream.
Those little red cups. They call them dibs. They're the most unhealthy thing you can eat.
Yeah, I can't have any of that crap. You have any? Let me know, Jace, if there's any sugar-free ice cream.
So guys, I'm going to put some guardrails on here and kind of roll us back in. Otherwise, we're just going to get into tangential barbecue talk all day.
Yeah, Jace's company is called Coneheads.
Oh, that's excellent. Fantastic. Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Go ahead. That's right. So, all right.
News of the Damned. I remember that thing we talked about usually.
Yeah, News of the Damned.
Saturday. So it's we can break the format. It's Saturday, right?
Yeah, I mean we're a little looser, a little bit more casual. It's not so late in the day that you know we're in happy hour and haven't had a few drinks. You know we're just on coffee and other caffeinated beverages at this point. Yeah. So we're going to start out in the e-commerce theme this week, and our first story comes from the United Kingdom, Sainsbury.
I bought chocolate there.
Yeah, Sainsbury clothing website crashed upon the announcement of a 25% off sale.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Not a 25% off sale.
Yeah.
Not a 25% off sale. That's two different ways of enunciating.
It's 25% off clothing.
There you go.
Basically.
Yeah. The Sainsbury is like, there's little outlets that are more like grocery related. Like you go to Sainsbury's, and then there's like bigger ones that have bigger stores. I don't think it's not a Tesco the way the like Tesco in the UK would be. This is more like, I don't know, say more like a Target where you go to a Target Greatland that has the extra grocery section.
Oh, okay.
But you could, and then you could do them together like a mall and a department store, or you could split them out.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's kind like of interesting.
In the Paddington train station, there's a Sainsbury, and you go in there, and then you buy the Cadbury chocolate, and you bring it back for your buddies at work. That's what I do.
So didn't we have a Sainsbury story within the last couple of months
during
the
holiday actually.
Period? So here's a vendor who has not learned their lesson,
tisk,
apparently.
Tisk, tisk.
Yes, yes.
That's the shame of the news of the shamed.
Yeah, you know, repeat offenders are people that we really need to send services to. And since they're in the UK, I believe Mr. Bishop and his sidekick Mahesh should be headed to Sainsbury to speak with them about their consistent problems.
Yep. You were going to say, Eric.
Oh, well, first of all, hashtag hug ops for the poor people there who are trying to keep a website up and aren't allowed to have the hardware or personnel they need to fix it.
Yeah.
And secondly, how about 25% off being enough to get people to rush to a website? It kind of gives me faith that we'll always have work, since the slightest excuse will cause people to swarm and behave like bees.
Yes. Yes, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a job that does, you know, keep on giving. Because let's face it, patterns of communication or lack of communication between marketing and IT operations, or lack of communication between development and operations, or lack of desirements, or however we want to talk about it, those are common. Those are not being fixed. And as long as those occur, we're going to keep have these events.
Get the one statement here. Now, this is TU. Remember, we already had this discussion. Like, TU stands for something, right?
Some sub-brand.
It's a sub-brand.
Table stakes.
Yeah.
James, guys, we just had a dead air event. So you were saying that on TU clothing, on the website, you know, it's a sub brand, and if you could pick up from there.
I was just saying it's exact same sub brand that crashed when we talked about him before, James. I mean, it was back in March, so not even a month ago. So they.
I'm sure was it February.
Well, it may have crashed in February because it was at the News of the Damned was on the 3rd. So, you know, it could have been like the 28th.
Yeah.
I'm going back to look here. Universe is crazy. I'm in the dock. Sainsbury. Let's see. Well, wait a minute. This is the... Is it the same story? Are we just repeating the story? You're right. It was in February.
Yeah.
But they crashed again.
The story that we're reporting is not from February.
This story is from March.
Again.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So this happened again.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not very happy with these people. But I feel bad. Here's the thing, right? To Eric's point, you can have all the right ideas of what it takes to fix it. And one of the reminders we would tell people is if you come up with an idea of what it's going to take to fix these problems, particularly in production, a lot of people think, well, you can't test your way out of this problem. You're testing too late for testing. We just need to get in here and do that magic thing that Eric knows how to do. And we'll, and that's a lot of pressure for one or a handful of engineers to try to solve in production. But I have to say, you still in very rapid form would like come up with an idea of what's going to fix the problem in production. You could still, like, in parallel, real time, guy, take this fix and go run a test on this before we actually do it in production.
Sure.
At the same time. You should validate the idea, because for all we know, these guys did throw hardware at the problem.
That worked for Diamond Dave, for Diamond Dave Yoga. He just threw hardware at the problem.
Threw hardware at the problem.
And we looked at his website last show, and the website was not horribly efficient. He knew he had a problem.
But he survived.
He survived because he threw enough hardware. There's no reason why they couldn't have thrown extra servers up in Amazon or Cloud Azure or someplace else and just survived it.
But we know this is the tricky, weird shit that, to Eric's point, is like – you can throw hardware at the problem. In some cases, that could make the problem worse, depending on what the actual root cause is.
Sure.
Like a SQL storm.
For the record, Diamond Dave sings Ice Cream Man. You're thinking of Diamond Dallas, but anyways.
Oh my God! You've brought it full circle back to Diamond Ice Cream. Dave Ice Cream Man.
So the other thing that occurs to me when I hear about this story is something I've kind of seen when I've been helping people out is a lot of these old brick and mortar companies suddenly are doing a lot of e-commerce business. But I've been in places where the CIO is still the person who made sure that exchange worked correctly 8 years ago. And it's such a big change to do e-commerce well that you have to build a core competency. You can't just do it in the basement of a otherwise brick and mortar focused company. At least that's been my experience. Some investment in people who really know what's going on and skilling them up, because the demand for e-commerce talent mushrooms so quickly that a whole lot of people are figuring it out as they go.
Yeah. Eric, what do you think about the other fact? And so, like James, we've seen the repeat customer stuff. But to your point, it's also people who use the same engineers that cause the problems, or architects that cause the problems, are the ones that you use to fix the problems. And if the problem is in the brain of the human being, it's going to be hard to get, you're going to get the same outcomes.
There's an old joke about this. You know, ask a surgeon what the problem is. Well, surgeons cut, and they'll say, well, no, let's go find out and do a little bit of exploratory surgery. So developers code, surgeons cut. If you ask a developer what the problem is, it's like, well, let's open it up. Let's write some more code.
Yeah.
These are the same people that caused the problem. Perhaps you ought to ask a performance engineer.
Yeah, but it's not going to be the architecture that they lovingly designed in the first place. They'll do some tweaking around the edges to slightly improve the situation, but it's more, if you need to make significant changes, people won't really let you put in the time to tear it down. They'll ask you to keep bailing the boat.
Yeah.
So, if your developers cause the problem, in my estimation, get a second opinion and don't get it from a developer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to turn to our second story, and this one is a small event. I haven't been able to get confirmation on it, but it comes from Samsung. The Samsung website apparently crashed on a promotional item for a $100 promotional package related to the new Galaxy 8.
Galaxy 8, which maybe that one they'll allow on the airplanes.
And this observation comes from a frustrated consumer at Reddit, who was posting in one of the Reddit forums. I couldn't find confirmation elsewhere of this type of event, but it's not surprising. Whenever you have a new product and a single source, a whole bunch of people go there and attempt to purchase, and you have issues. So not really that unusual. And in this case, there is no other opportunity to go someplace else to switch your purchase.
Yeah, I'm not to bang on Reddit, but it's a completely wide open, roughly not moderated site, sort of socially moderated. But I don't. No one even responded to this guy.
Yep.
About this thing. So I got to say, there are. We always need to double check. Is it just me? Because DNS can screw you up. All sorts of stuff. It may not be the actual target site. That's where sites either listening to the news of the damned, but in real time, it's the down right now and. Some of these other services that can tell you if it's just your little neck of the internet woods that are having issues for sure.
Yeah. So
an outage with an enterprise app yesterday, and it certainly was reported as if the provider the provider head of this enterprise app had gone down all over the place. But every other service I checked didn't indicate an issue, so it seemed that perhaps I wasn't getting the actual story in the finger pointing.
Now, yeah. I have a related item that I'd like to bring up. So Tim Western posted a note saying, hey, I was having some issues. I guess it was with the NFL draft streaming output.
Yeah.
And I went to look for confirming samples on that, and I couldn't really find a large story. Just here and there, people saying, "Hey, I have problems. You know, it's faulty. You know, low bit rate type of stuff." But I couldn't find a consistent pattern associated with that. But yet Tim was experiencing issues. You know, Tim's a skilled performance guy. I don't doubt that he was experiencing issues, and it could have been just local network congestion in that case that caused a problem on the streaming.
Yeah, to Mark's point, I mean, what would be surprising if there wasn't transient last mile conditions causing some people to have a poor performance at some time.
Yeah.
So there's some amount of that just has to be happening all of the time on all kinds of apps.
Now I'm going to get into the whole discussion here on network neutrality, but I think streaming actually deserves a higher priority in your network, including voice for voice over IP. I think that traffic should be prioritized because it is time sensitive.
And I have a certain position on net neutrality, but even that being said, perhaps the NFL draft streaming should be waiting in line behind email and phone calls and things of that nature.
Well, phone calls are streaming too, and it's very time based. That's why I say it should have priority as for quality of service. That's why it's in IP version 6. It said voice has higher priority than other stuff because it's time sensitive data.
You could be true.
The content, but okay.
Or you just come to Philadelphia and you pay $12 for a cup of beer.
Well, I would do that anyway, and it has nothing to do with net neutrality and packet prioritization. But
$12. $12. You could almost buy a whole keg.
Are you talking about a Phillies game?
No. The NFL draft is here in Philadelphia on the museum steps. So it's all happening.
It?
Yeah, it's happening this week. So it's crazy. So you basically don't go downtown unless you're really a fan and you want to go stand in line for. Yeah, it's crazy.
Nothing sounds better than hanging around a bunch of drunken Philadelphia NFL fans upset about their $12 beers.
Well,
how can I make that happen?
I'm going to say take the train, but no, it is kind of nuts. There's like 100,000 people came to Philadelphia for the draft.
Holy all over crap! The world.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. It's bigger than Wing Bowl.
But you know what? They didn't crash the train system getting tickets like the Pope did.
And the Pope, man, that guy really did a number. And it wasn't even leafy, slippery rail season, which is in the fall when there's wet leaves on the tracks and the trains can't stop.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's a whole level of excitement that goes into your morning commute.
I guess exciting is one way to put it.
Yeah. Hey, my stop was right back there.
Yeah. Okay. So we've covered, you know, the transient events here on Reddit. Was it global? Doesn't appear to be so. We brought in, you know, kind of Tim Western's observation on the NFL draft. And that brings us to our ticketing theme. And I got to tell you, we have
always with the tickets.
So we have a rich.
Wait, don't tell me. It's in the UK.
It's in the UK.
Of course it is.
It involves e-commerce and evil capitalism for someone selling a book and getting a speaking fee. And he's a socialist.
It's great.
There's all sorts of rich irony here, and it looks like we've had a dead air event again. Please bear with us while we solve our technical issues.
Hey James, is that you?
Yes. Okay, so we're back.
Great. Welcome back.
Yeah. So we've got Saturday technical issues.
And then Mark goes off.
Yeah. So here's the story. We have in the UK, Bernie Sanders has gone over to speak at St. George's Bristol, college event to discuss his new book as well as his activity going on in last election cycle in the United States. So being the UK, of course, there has to be a ticket associated with it because they don't do anything without a queue in the UK. And of course, queues, tickets, everything else. And so the ticketing website went down. Clearly, Bernie is not a listener to this show, or he would understand he should have done it for free and not tried to engage the evil ogres of capitalism to attempt to sell something to allow people as a gate to get to him.
Yeah, so I guess... go ahead, Derek.
I doubt that Bernie was actually involved in selling these tickets. I think a bigger problem is some local college person needed to sell some tickets, and for whatever reason, they didn't use something like Eventbrite where somebody else could solve the scaling issues for them.
They were probably selling tickets to support his... to support the speaking fee to all the speakers.
See, so it's sold out, but I'm going to hit the book tickets now. I'm going to go choose another event just so I can see who the ticketing vendor is behind.
Yeah.
Find events July, August, this month. Okay, here. Pick another one. Shane Coizan. No, they actually have some really good people coming to talk. Oh, yeah. Okay, Juan Martin. I'm going to do book now. Choose my seats. Okay, so it's a venue. You know, James, some of the other, like, Summer Symphony series. Remember the one that was happening in South Carolina, North Carolina?
Yep, at the Peace Center in Greenville, South Carolina. Free tickets.
Yeah, so hit continue.
And with my step cousin, Dessa, at the Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra.
That's right.
Who her event... just happened recently, and it went off fabulously.
Flamenco guitar. All right, so I hit check out. It looks like I'm gonna. Let's see down here. It really looks like. No. Here we go. Box office powered by Spectrix.
Spectrix.
SPEKTRIX. Spectrix.com. Our mission is to help arts organizations be more successful through better ticketing, marketing, and fundraising. From the Juilliard School, Spectrix. We make.
Oh, so you have a bunch of artists building a ticketing website. That really seems like it's an appropriate use of skills.
They make brilliant software and they provide expert support. We combine breakthrough. There's some good marketing here. We do things differently. They have frequent upgrades and unlimited support. Unlimited support.
All the upgrades include. Performance enhancements.
Hassle-free IT, because if you don't have IT support, you don't...
Please bear with us as we solve our technical difficulties. One moment, please.
Yeah, people with blue hair. That'd be...
And it looks like we've lost Mark and
yes, Mr. That's happened both times you came back. We immediately bumped him off.
Yeah. So
woohoo! All right, Spectrix. That's the culprit, the innocent people. Because I have to say the Bristol performance.
Yep.
Their site. I mean, still didn't get good page speed wise. So they got C's and D's. But again, that's the, if the mission that Spectrix is coming up with is like, hey, we help with 280 different arts organizations, and I bet they have some success stories. They
are hiring.
They are hiring. If you scroll down in their features page, guess what they offer, James? Now, just guys, hear me out on this.
Yeah.
Unlimited support. Unlimited. So what if I come up with something I need? Unlimited reports. Like, what if I want 1,000 reports per second? Unlimited. And here it is, guys.
Yeah.
The real clincher, unlimited users.
Oh.
Now, this could not mean, this might not mean customers' users. It could be unlimited admin, you know, management for your organization. There's not like seat licensing. So
yep.
they maybe they're competing against seat licensing. Really
well,
interesting.
Hiring for a tech ops engineer, a senior software engineer, and a regular software engineer in London.
So pretty
maybe
much
somebody can go help them out.
Yeah, so let's post that in the ministry jobs channel.
Okay,
and that these guys need serious help. It perhaps Eric, perhaps they just fired all those three people, and they never had any. This appears to be U.S. So let me see if there's a U.K. version of the site.
So is it possible that their ticket provider is in the U.S., but their core site is in the U.K., and so we have some latency issues that are coming into play as well?
Could be.
Well, you'd think one could find out with having unlimited support that you could get answers to those questions.
Yeah. And if they're hosted, say, in a cloud solution like Amazon, they could, doesn't Amazon have a data center in, was it Ireland?
Hey, so, somebody had a dream. Somebody wanted to make it possible to for these small concert venues to be able to sell tickets without having to go through Ticketmaster.
Yep.
I think we've probably beat this one up pretty good.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. For Bristol, they're relying on this vendor to help them. You know, that's where you go to. But here you've got specialized people. They didn't go to other places in the UK. But just even if you have people in the U.S. trying, maybe those guys listened to our show and said, wow, there's a real opportunity to do ticket sales in the U.K., so let's get on that. And then, whoops, I guess we're making transatlantic hops, maybe?
Yep. Yeah, potentially so.
All right. So sorry to the Bristol. It's a tons of great events, actually, if you're there. At that, wherever that site was in Bristol. Bristol Arts, St. George's?
Yep.
St. George's, Bristol. Yeah, tons of flamenco guitarists. Really. Yeah.
So the next story comes in our government section, our government education monopoly type section. And it begins with a event happening in the European Parliament allowing visa-free travel for biometric passports for people in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And this caused a rush on the Ukraine passport site because not everybody has a biometric passport. So these ones.
James, yeah? you can't talk too much about it, I know, from a long time ago, but you were at the DHS for a little while, and a lot of people may not even know that they have a chip in their passport.
Yes.
It's, you know, the little sign. It looks like a little camera or an old school pencil sharpener.
Yep.
You know, little icon on your passport.
It's a little RFID tag and, you know, yeah, includes some check information that is also in your passport.
Right.
And it makes it difficult to forge a passport because the biometric identifiers that are inside the RFID chip may not match what is printed on the passport. So if you have a mismatch, you might have a, sir, could you please go to lane 2? We have additional questions, yes, for you.
And feel free to unbuckle your belt before you get in line.
Yes, yes. The National Health Service is here doing free prostate exams. You know, we're combining government services in our country. Yes.
So some people might think it's, I mean, an RFID tag, you can reprogram it to do stuff, but, you know, it's pretty regulated in the passport world. But
yep.
So these guys, Ukraine's passport, it sounds like they didn't have this capability before. It was just...
Well, they had some Ukrainians that did have biometric passports,
right,
and others who did not, but the visa-free travel applied only to those with biometric passports.
Oh, got it.
And so you have the Ukraine, which is involved in some great unpleasantness with their neighbor Russia.
Yeah.
And so you have people who may want to, say, take advantage of this visa-free travel, but they need to update their passport in order to do that. So you have a regulation passed in the European Parliament which causes a rush on a passport site in the Ukraine, which then takes out their website.
Was there any guess? You had written here in the notes in your research that there's Ukraine overall is about 45 million, 50 million people, right?
Yep.
And was there any guess as to what percentage of them had a biometric? Or I'm looking through the notes here. I mean, it was basically a million plus user rush on getting to the deadline to get this done.
Right? Yeah, so they began accepting for the new biometric standard passports, I think it was in 2015.
Yeah.
And they had a large number, even in the startup of that, I guess it was 65,000 in the first month that they were able to process. But this is basically a mad rush for people to upgrade their passports. And let's face it, European nations compared to the United States and Canada are actually fairly compact and small. So it's not unusual for a European citizen to have a passport because they might have to cross the border, you know,
sure,
go see a mother, you know, a child, go grocery shopping, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
You know, if you want stinky cheese, which is only available in the country next door, I guess. So in that case, you have this large population who may have been prevented from leaving during this period of great unpleasantness, and instead they want to upgrade so they can, you know, basically get the heck out of town.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well.
So this would be that, you know, that pattern of a news event driving load to a website, plus a combination of a government site, which doesn't normally take a supremely high load.
No.
Those two things coming together is almost a guarantee for issues.
You know, go ahead, Eric.
I'd also imagine that's a transactional, like, as a transaction, applying for a passport, if
yep.
you're checking some other systems, might be a bit healthcare.gov as well, where the complexity level is quite high, and perhaps a complexity level above the skill level of the lowest bidder.
Lowest bidder, as well the segmentation, as we know from healthcare.gov, it's separate contracts with separate people and no integrated view. I was going to say to you guys, you know, we talk about the government monopoly-esque type things, and it can happen private or public in that perspective.
Yep.
It's especially with government, and it's, to me, there's the meta of power. A rock star, a politician like Bernie. If you have what kind of hat?
Oh, and there goes Mark. He'll be back momentarily. So
I almost knew what he was going to talk about, but not quite.
Yeah. So I think we can say that monopolies are bad for customer service, no matter what the monopoly is.
Totally.
Because monopolies exist to protect the monopoly versus protecting the consumer. And whenever you have a monopoly that has no market effect, which is really a government entity, you're guaranteed almost to have issues, because you have one sole location where you can get a passport. And if it fails, well, what is the incentive to actually upgrade or change the process to substantially increase the cost? Because the user will have to come back anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially as somebody who's desperate. Given that there's a neighbor who may be back any time, asking to you know, moving the fence again.
Yeah, they may be back any time.
Want to be ready to go.
Asking to house their foreign troops in your house while they target stuff at your neighbor down the street.
Yeah, I would definitely want to have my passport if I were Ukrainian.
Exactly. So now I believe I heard the sound of an aircraft in the back of Mark speaking. I hope that was not a drone, and you know, Mark's in trouble. But we'll see if we can't get him back any time now. And so our next story, Eric, comes from a university, Dickens College. And this dealt with student housing. So, as you might expect, student housing is an issue which is of concern at almost every university, because seniors get priority, then juniors, then sophomores, and then finally a rising freshman. So, you've got an issue where it's time sensitive, and people are coming into the system to select their housing, and then boom. You get you basically get a website going down, and I think this is a classical point load situation.
This is the second most common higher education problem like this I've heard. The first one is when class signups go out.
Yep.
And in both situations, if you're 18 or 19 years old and things don't go the way that you want, it's easy to believe that your life is ruined. So I'm sure that Dickinson College had quite a few complaints about people not being able to get the room with the roommates in the dorm that they had dreamed of.
I mean, before the web era, this used to be a batch process. You would go and fill out your little card and go to the data center and hand it in. And, they would run it as big batch jobs. So it was just kind of serially done. And, yep. You know, where you wound up in the sort, you know, you might get higher priority over your other class member of the same standing. But it's interesting because colleges, right at this time of year, we have the issue of registration. We have the issue of housing. And we're going to see in just a moment, we have the issue of exams and exam results. All of these are classical point load problems where we have a time dependency and people being, well, the nature of people is to procrastinate no matter who you are. Even if you're, you know, the type A driver, you know, I'm going to get it done. When's the deadline? 4 hours from now. I'll get it done in 3 hours and 45 minutes, but I'm going to get it done.
Hey, don't have to make it personal, James. Jeez.
Yeah, gee. Golly, it really hits home, brother.
Well, yeah. Like I said, we're all procrastinators one way or the other. That's right. And so it just naturally creates this point load situation. So that's what I'm getting to, you know. Eric, your term, hug ops to the IT managers at Dickens College. Yeah. You know, this is something that, well, it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And by the way, they're probably trying to operate a PeopleSoft system or something along those lines that they know very little about and that some consultant came in and made a great deal of money configuring for them, who is long gone.
Man, I tell you, the more of our stories get into the charitable stuff. Recently, I've actually on the side encountered like two instances where somebody is just taking all the money out of some small nonprofit. Just, oh well, you have to do this, and I'm asking them, why are you making them pay $10,000 to do this? Well, there's a security concern. I'm like, what particularly can you? We need to spend this. So there's some charlatans out there.
Yeah,
you know, charlatans.
And certainly in the education market as well, because it's a pretty monolithic market. If you have software dedicated to it, it's like, oh no, we can't use commercial software because it doesn't have education stamped on it.
Or it's pseudo commercial, meaning it's commercial. It sounds nonprofit, but actually, I was going to say, give a shout out back to our folks listening online. Raf is with us. So first of all, Jace pointed out that speaking of Ukraine, it's been 31 years since Chernobyl, right? That was last month. It was the Chernobyl.
Wow. 31
years. Those people, at least they deserve to have a proper passport with visa work, because you never know.
This is going to sound really bad, but I wonder if passports glow in the dark.
That's a terrible joke. That's not. Think of the children, James. Think of the children.
Now, maybe not for children's passport, but adult passports.
That's right. No, it might be handy actually, though. You know, if you're traveling in the winter months when it's dark in the north. Raf actually also points out lots of people come from the east of Poland just to buy stuff as they get prices tax free. So it's just like here in Pennsylvania, we go down to Delaware and get tax free.
Nice.
Or if you're in Northern California, you go to Oregon, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or Washington State.
If you're in Ohio, you go to Pennsylvania to buy your clothing.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So so it could be a tax thing that helps these people with passports to go, if you got to buy a washer and dryer, you know what, $10 off.
Yep.
I think it's more likely to be monitoring some chaos in the country next door. But we should move on to more of our higher education stories.
Or money laundering. That's always fun.
Yes. Yeah. Or maybe there's no incentive to fix the website so they can take bribes.
Sure.
To get it done.
Yeah. So sorry, Dickinson kids.
Dorm room you didn't expect and the roommate you didn't plan on. It'll be okay, though. I promise.
It'll be just fine. Yes. And so our next story comes from the Indian subcontinent. And the examination... it's the Uttar Pradesh State Entrance Examination 2017.
Yep.
And candidates could not download their admission card to the test.
So this is not resolved. This is, go ahead, Eric.
I said, no pressure. It's only your entrance into the state university. Where you'll either have a life where you get to wear shoes and work in an office, or where you're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Hold on, Eric. You're not allowed to wear shoes if you don't work in an office. I don't understand.
The stakes are very high. That's just what I meant to imply.
Yeah.
Perhaps somewhat insensitively.
But this is, James, this is at the beginning of the process.
Yes.
Like usually we see this, for all we know, we've had Uttar Pradesh. The results. I don't. Have you looked it up to see if they're?
We've had a number of Indian state exam, board exam results failure, from medical board to graduate school to college entrance. So we have had a whole variety of failures there. And to be fair, we've also had failures on exam results coming out of Japan, coming out of the United States for college entrance exam, college board entrance exams. So
right.
This is a common issue with exam results, where they're posted online for people to download their scores.
But now they can't even sign up to take the exam at all.
Exactly. Now, this is the first time we've seen an entrance card where you actually have to print your card and bring it with you to say, I am the appropriate candidate, and to submit it. So this is a little bit different, because I guess normally that's run on the back end, and maybe people are validating as they arrive, you know, show your ID or something of that nature.
I think there's an important point here in the notes that you collected for us, that the admit card was released after a delay of 4 days.
So yes.
kind of queued up demand and increased anxiety amongst people to get this card.
Like built up pressure.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've created an unnatural bottleneck in the system where maybe people have been downloading cards during that 4-day window.
Yeah. Where,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's fascinating. I wonder if there's interesting extra things that they've done this year that they've never done before. Like if they've had fraudulent cards on the front end where they're putting some extra anti-fraud or some extra things, or if it.
So, Mark, are you suggesting that someone might have another person take their exam for them?
Yeah. Or it could be.
I am aghast, Mark. I have never heard of that.
James, nobody cheats. There's no such thing as cheating. I mean, how long, do you know human beings? We are all honest, Abe. Come on. It's a frightful.
Especially when a job or a university admission is on the line, no one would
hire somebody
to help them out with it.
Yeah, like your livelihood. If your livelihood is on the line.
No one would ever pay anyone else to take a certification test.
So that could be it. I mean, and that we all know, any kind of software project is usually like a reason for a 4-day delay. Could be last minute fixes, last minute changes. If there were some initiative going on to add stuff or change stuff on that front end transaction, sure.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, it'd be nice to know more. We don't have but really sorry to the kids that. But did they bring again a lot of these like the education ones? They just eventually bring the site up again, and it keeps going. No new news on this one.
No new news. The exam period is over, so presumably everyone got in.
Yeah.
Maybe they would have to print their cards at the site or something to allow them to come in. But it's interesting that we kind of created this artificial event on the front end, just like we have on the back end.
Yeah.
Now.
All right. There you go. Well, let's keep an eye out for these guys when it comes time to post the results.
Yeah, and also from the similar geographic area of the world next door, in Islamabad, Pakistan, the official website of the Supreme Court of Pakistan crashed. Bear with us one moment while we address a technical issue. One moment, please. One moment, please.
Minister.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Where are you in the dock here? Islamabad?
Yes. So Mark and Eric are back. I'm going to blame Mark for all of this event because he's connected at a different speed than the rest of us.
So all right.
Mark and I stayed connected during that
time. We're good. It was you.
So back to Islamabad. It turns out that the Prime Minister of Pakistan was being investigated for having some offshore properties, and that's what people were so excited to see the Supreme Court verdict about, because this is corruption going literally to the top of their government, trying to find out what's going on. I can only imagine what would be happening if in the U.S. the Supreme Court was about to issue some verdict affecting the sitting leader of the government.
Oh, sure.
I imagine there might be a website issue.
I would think so. Even with the
government. We can hope.
even with the GovCloud, I don't believe that they're involved in a content delivery network for the Supreme Court. And usually it's, you know, it's court geeks or law geeks who go and download all of the rulings from the Supreme Court.
Sure.
And make them available. So that load is normally, you know, finite and known. But if you had a government official, president, a vice president, a governor or something like that that was impacted, then you would certainly have that issue. I think even here, I think you're right, Eric. You would have that.
Yeah. We probably lost Eric for now. For
some reason. I'm here.
No. Oh, great, yeah. So
it's one of those
sites that's normally for law students and professionals suddenly is getting a massive amount of interest from the public.
And I think that's good. Happen. Whenever fraud is exposed, I think it should go everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And whenever a public official takes public money and does bad things with it, I'm old fashioned. I think the stock is a good thing.
Well, in this case, the Supreme Court determined that Mr. Sharif's accusers did not have enough evidence, and he remains the Prime Minister of Pakistan today.
Yeah.
At the Army's pleasure, but let's not talk about Pakistani politics too much longer.
I got to say, the website itself, even though it got a C and a D, it's a very small page size, 25 requests.
Yep.
It actually looks like a pretty clean site, so maybe this really was just concentrated point load.
So just an oversubscription of the resources.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because the logic and the waterfall diagram looks nice and parallel. It's pretty good. Yeah. And what they didn't score well on, some browser caching and some other stuff, compression. Yeah, maybe they ran out of CPU and turned off compression. That could be. All right. Yeah. Very sorry. The law is really interesting in Pakistan, by the way.
I don't even want to touch that topic.
No, but it's fascinating. It's very different, especially if you're from the States and you think about the legal system in the States. It's just a very different system.
In most places in the world, you are guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, right.
You know, exactly. On a legal basis. So, you know, that's you know, part of our engineered distinctiveness.
Right, like who ate the last cookie?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't me. Prove it was me. And as I'm wiping
my beard, were from something else. Stop talking that way.
Are you eating your beer cookies with beer?
No, in my beard.
Oh, beard.
Cookie crumbs in my beard.
So there's evidence. Yeah, that. Why do you think I have a really short beard there?
And it depends on the beer. If you actually had beer with cookies.
Yeah, nice porter.
Chocolate stout kind of thing with a chocolate.
Yeah, great.
That's a good idea. Anyway, back to News of the Damned.
Back to News of the Damned. Let's start talking about some charitable activities. Unfortunately, we do have problems with charities unable to accept load, particularly at the time that really it's most needed.
Yep.
Our first story in the charitable activity theme comes from Manchester, United Kingdom. So this is in the backyard of Richard Bishop.
Yep.
And evidently there was a fire at a local hospital the Cancer Research Center at Christie Hospital. And you can imagine, holy cow, Cancer Research Center, fire. People's heartstrings are just tugged at events like that.
And a major setback in, you know, they probably lost equipment.
They probably lost research data. Hopefully it was archived off-site.
It looks like nobody was injured.
Yeah, which is thankful, you know, that did not happen.
Yep.
But people wanted to open up their pockets and donate to help get this organization back on their feet. And it is during this time where websites need to stay up. Unfortunately, in this case, the fundraising website crashed as readers of the Manchester Evening News just rushed to the website to help give money to the research center after this devastating event. And, you know, the site is back up. So if you're interested in donating for cancer research in Manchester, United Kingdom, and you want to help this organization get back on their feet, please donate at this point. I know a lot of people for charities, when they hear about an event, it's like, oh my God, I want to donate right now. And if they can't, the recapture on that is actually very poor. It's because, you know, people may not want to look at the story again because they'll be saddened again. Yeah. But please go back and make your donation.
Yeah. So, and let me pull the link here. I'll put it in the Perf Bites chat.
Yeah. We've spoken many times architecturally about how to address this, and really a queue on your process for donations is the way to go. You need some sort of expandability or accordion capability in order to capture that information coming in, even if you can't provide instantaneous response that has been processed.
Sure.
You can dump to another queue as a process and say, hey, we've received it. We have high load. We're processing donations right now, and you'll receive a confirmation email when it's done.
Or give us, and you can think about leveraging also, and it looks like these guys do, because, well, at least now, maybe not before, James, but because it was last minute setting this up, you can text GIVE to 70200.
Probably only in the UK, if
probably
I
only
guess.
In the UK, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's another thing, is these other infrastructures like SMS are already connected to a payment account on your provider bill.
Yep.
That gets processed monthly, asynchronously, days later. So we should always maybe mention in these situations that if you can leverage an SMS version of giving, it may be, at least you're not at zero. It may be a small pre-canned amount, like this is £5 sterling.
And in some cases, although people in many cases can't dial these numbers from their phones any longer, charities used to take advantage of, I guess, what was called the 976 system until the adult industry kind of co-opted that exchange.
Right.
But charities would say, okay, if you'd like to donate $5, just pick up the phone and dial this number.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll attach $5 to your bill and it will just come off on your natural billing cycle. It looks like SMS has taken advantage of that prior capability without the taint associated with the adult industry, which caused that top level exchange to be kind of, you know, ironed out of people's access.
Yeah. So, hug ops in a big way to the folks at the Christie Institute, Christie Hospital. They have a little video. Go ahead, Eric.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the little video states that they've lost like decades worth of their research. And it just really it's crazy. Really interesting. So all the details I just posted, and you can tweet that out.
I wonder if the PII nature of some of the data prevented it from being stored off-site.
Could be. Yeah. Could be, yeah. We should, you know, take a mention out to Eric's world at Metadata. You know a lot, or become as a new employee, but you're learning a lot about what it takes for these people for the same kind of medical research and trials and things that I'm.
So Eric, how does the cloud help or hurt in your case? Can you store data in the cloud, or does it have to be encrypted? Or basically, it's verboten because you can't put the access controls on it.
You can store data in the cloud. Most audit regimes have support for some sort of public cloud implementation if it's done correctly.
Right.
You can put the right controls on. And the kind of regulatory challenges that come up, like the safe harbor laws, they complicate things a little bit, but it's not an impossible problem.
Okay.
However, it does require people who really know what they're doing. And when I hear about a small charity hospital in Manchester, it makes me think of my own nonprofit work, where I learned very quickly, you know what? Just because I think I know how to do this thing, or I could accomplish some technical goal, this is what I do in my spare time. I should probably not rely on volunteers to do for my critical systems.
Yeah, yeah.
I should probably suck it up and take the 3% and use PayPal or whatever.
Yep.
So that I don't have problems like this.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. But we have even more charities in the next one here, and this one is a flood charity. right?
That correct. So the next two items are related.
Cumbria?
And so Cumbria area of UK was hit by some floods. So you have a charitable organization set up to assist with that. And one of them was actually the London Marathon, where people were raising money for that, for those donations. And they were using Virgin Money Giving on the back end. So this is
a Virgin like Branson. Virgin
yes.
Airlines.
Yeah. Yes.
Virgin
we were just, oh, we were just talking about Richard Branson earlier.
Yeah.
This is one of his organizations. So Virgin Money Giving.
Great.
And it just goes to show that this is not necessarily a problem that impacts small organizations. And as in the case of the Manchester hospital and their cancer research, but also impacts very large infrastructure organizations such as Virgin Money Giving. You have a widely impacted area such as Cumbria. You have a lot of people who are interested in donating. You have an event that it's tied to, such as the London Marathon. And then you have all of these donations that are supposedly coming in, and then the site crashes. You're not able to actually give.
And, of course, this is all happening in the UK.
And this is all happening in the UK, which has a history of ticket problems. But oddly enough, they haven't embraced queues for charitable giving. I don't understand that. They embrace queues in every other aspect of their life, but not in charitable giving.
Or they have, but something else is not elastic enough to deal with this. I want to give like a shout-out here to Richard Branson, who has tremendous amount of resources, but maybe doesn't know exactly how to funnel them into really solving the technical problem. Because, I mean, in the story you write here, James, like the London Marathon, actually, before I give a shout out, Ash Winter, you know Ash Winter, teaching
tester?
The Northern Tester. Yeah, he ran in the London Marathon.
And I think it was last year, or the year before, the London Marathon actually signing up for tickets had an issue.
Signing up for
tickets, but not this year. Instead, it's on the giving side of the house. And I want to give credit to Virgin Money Giving because of their outages. They are increasing donations by an additional 10%. So whatever people gave, they're putting 10% on additional to try and make up for this loss
that
happened.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. It's better than doing nothing, but as you point out, so much of charity is about capturing an emotion at just the right time.
Yes.
Yeah. And keep
the recapture is surely lower than that.
Yeah, just human nature. You're sort of going along with the sentiment or capturing that moment and sentiment. And again, that's where asynchronous processing can preserve or prioritize that experience of contribution, compassion, whatever it is, first. And really, you know, the financial follow through. And if they have a great experience in the first 30 seconds of going, oh, my gosh, I can help those people right now, then you maybe improve follow on, you know, repeat calls for support when you're like, you know, it's been a month after the fire at Christie Hospital. It's been a month after the floods.
You know, we haven't
still
really
need more resources.
We haven't really touched on that, Mark, which is the whole issue of the initial giving, but also the capture. Whenever you sign up, of course, you give your email address. Unfortunately, that can and often does result in a flood of emails coming to you.
Yep.
But that follow on, there is zero opportunity for additional giving.
Yeah,
at that point,
if you lose the end count completely. So just not shaming in any way, but you know, Branson and the Virgin companies have tremendous resources, and you know, good on them for matching the 10%. But let's actually get in there and maybe help them fix some of the other things. I will say, not just from a ticket perspective, their eyes are on the giving money world, and I think that's nice. That's great. Okay.
But an additional 10%, I mean, there were certain people that were sponsored who indicated that, let's see, one gentleman, a 44-year-old running the London Marathon for the first time on Sunday, claimed he lost out on lots of sponsorship because of the glitches. And quote, I think I lost around 2,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so will that 10% make up for it?
Maybe not.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
So now, James, this next story in the entertainment world.
I think this has got you all over it, Mark.
Well, actually,
I'm too excited to talk about it.
I was thinking the same thing about you, because it's, well, maybe all three of us, because it's the 80s, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going back to the 80s. And what was the, now the Bananarama song? Like they, for me, it was the remake of Venus.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that was a huge hit.
It was a huge hit, not an original song, but totally originally made. Their cover was like so much more appetizing than the original Venus.
Well, you know, part of that was part of that was MTV.
Part of it was MTV. Eric, yeah. You were saying.
Yeah, I mean they took that song over. I mean they own it now.
Yeah,
I think so. When somebody
says, everybody thinks of.
Yeah, when somebody says, you know the song Venus, I remember Bananarama before I remember the original artist, which I can't even remember the original artist.
Yeah. So here's the story involving Bananarama. They're getting the band back together.
Shocking blue.
Yeah, they're getting the band back together, and so all of us are so excited. We went to their website and we killed it.
Now this is
that's a cruel summer.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, good one, Eric. Good one. Good one.
that's cruel summer. Let's see. I'm on their Wikipedia page. Let's see if I can find the original.
But this is not unusual. We've had this happen to a number of artists who have come out of retirement. I think Kate Bush was in there someplace where they start saying, "Hey, I'm going to come out in public and sing some more because the bank account's a little low, I think." And
it could be.
There's so much interest in getting tickets and such that, boom, the websites go down. And they don't have to be out for a long time. I think this happened to, of course, it happened to Beyonce for her world tour.
Oh, yeah.
It happened to Adele on several tours on several continents. Yep.
There's a Bananarama official site that, you know, let's be honest, I haven't seen a lot of traffic for quite some time.
Yep.
Then the news announcement goes out, and then the point load occurs. Suddenly a bunch of people who haven't thought about Bananarama in years, and one of those.
By the way,
suddenly hears about this, and they need to go look.
By the way, the original song, Venus, is by Robbie van Leeuwen. In 1970, the Dutch rock band Shocking Blue took the song to number one. And then it was resampled, particularly, on a Stars of 45 medley. And then in 1986, Bananarama took it to number one. And this is Casey Kasem in the top 100. That's exactly right. And it was on Pink Elephant Records.
Excellent.
And the B-side was called Hot Sand. The Shocking Blue, so you can go get that. That would be good. Give a shout out to Kim Knupp, who was works for Songkick. Songkick's been with us once. I think maybe they had an outage and they've done some performance stuff. And it was Michael Bublé was the other artist that was crashing websites with tickets.
Did you say Songkick?
Songkick, yeah.
Yeah. Also, Amy Phillips works at Songkick. She does. They've got a really super interesting continuous delivery pipeline, feature flipping kind of setup there. If you can see her, get a chance to see her talk about it. Her Twitter handle is It Just Broke, which to me is amazing.
Oh, yes, that's fantastic.
And Amy gave a talk in Brighton. Oh, she's given several talks with the Ministry and Test Brash. Test Brash, if you go to the dojo, you can actually go see Amy's talk on how they do CI. And then I know Kim and Emma and I think some of the other architects, they're talking, putting together a proposal to actually talk about their performance repair and their capabilities that they've built since having an outage so long ago. So there may be some cool people we can tap in the Songkick world in the UK that handle these things, James. Maybe I can try to get them on the show.
So I want to come up with five things to tell an artist before you announce a tour. And I'm going to put one of them down as a marker, and then we're going to just do a round robin. So number one, before you announce a tour, make sure your site is fully integrated with the CDN.
Yes.
Mark?
Number two, call Amy Phillips at Songkick and just have them do it.
Eric?
Number three, find somebody who knows how to sell tickets. There's multiple startups that are doing great jobs with this. If you don't want to deal with Ticketmonster, you could go to Eventbrite or Brown Bag Tickets or something like that. Let somebody else handle the complicated stuff.
Yep.
4, optimize your images. Who wants number 5? Yeah, that's specifically to Beyonce and her 8 megabyte images on the front page.
Yeah, I'll take number 5, and Eric can do number 6 if he wants to. Number 5, I'm going to say don't ride the line between it's my site or it's the ticket site, what we just saw with the other ticket people in at Bristol.
Yep.
I'm going to say make it really, really clean. All of my marketing and branding is here. If I'm visiting somebody's site and it's the arts, it's the artist, it's the venue, when I go to do the ticket transaction, I don't need it to be sexy branded. I don't need all that overhead. Like when I go to do the financial transaction, who cares if the color scheme's wrong? I could even go to a whole other, I expect to go to the perfunctory part of the transaction. And that's something we saw with Ticketmaster. That's a great Freudian slip. Thank you, Eric. in between there, remember there's like, well, this is like, you can sort of have it half hosted by the ticket provider and then it's branded and they've come up with some business model where they ride the line.
That's their small venue offering where you get to write your own website, put on
and
their
professional
platform.
Services probably makes a mint charging you $200 an hour to write some Angular JS. My point would be don't go down that path. Just have your art site, even if it's small, and then all of that point load stuff, just who cares about the look and feel? Just send them over there, simple splash page. Here's the venue, here's the date, here's the cost, pick the seat, done. And don't try to ride the line, do 2 things in the middle, because that's where we see a lot of people, that's where things fall apart. Nobody has accountability in that middle zone. And it costs a lot too, I think. So,
and Eric, number 6 would be to optimize the landing experience on your website. A lot of our just websites have an elaborate intro. You have to click through
to actually
do any navigation. That needs to come down for those first few days after you announce your concert sales.
Yeah.
And the page that people land on, there you should have a big button right there that says buy tickets or upcoming tour that sends them off to the ticket website.
Yeah.
Which could be a completely different site, by the way. It doesn't have to be commingled.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Link them through to the ticketing site and then don't deal with that. And, you know, they have that heavily optimized page where it's going to be small. It's going to be cheap to from a bandwidth perspective to give somebody the basics of what they need. And then they click on their ticket link and they're gone. And then the other pages on your website, if somebody wants to, you know, go look at some tour photos and do those sorts of things, that's great. The small percentage of them that are doing that, it's going to be better than trying to show everybody all of that, even if somebody's just going to be there briefly.
Yeah. You know, Eric, I'm thinking about some of the way Prince and the new part MPG did their ticket sales stuff. Most of the stuff was obscured and, you know, it wasn't elaborate content to get you to buy the ticket. It was just, here's a date. And no more information. You knew it was going to be a show. You knew it was a concert. You're already a fan. You don't need to layer on all this content and then put the buy now ticket on the side. Do that. Tantalize things, you know, just like here's a date and you know who it is. And then you click through, go do your perfunctory ticket purchase, maybe in the back end, whatever. But then you get your voucher and you can go see the rest of the content after you buy a ticket. And like we know from normal e-commerce, the numbers might be different slightly, but people who browse and people who shop are a huge percentage. The people who actually add to cart and follow through and buy a ticket can be very small.
Yeah, it's usually less than 10% unless you have a unique item available in a limited supply for a limited time and one location.
But I think number 6 is good too. That in the first few days have a really, really slim page.
Yeah.
And say, you know, coming on Friday will be this more information about the show that unrelated to buying tickets, right? It's just like once you go through the ticket process, you'll get a voucher and you can come back on Friday and get more content on the site.
Yeah.
And these certainly are planned campaigns where we're going to announce that this is happening. If you're coordinating with your marketing department, as James pointed out earlier, you should know that it's time to get this set up. But we're going to have one really high traffic week as this gets, you know, posted and reposted around the internet, and then right. we can go back to business as usual after that.
Yeah, so I'm going to add one last item, and then we're going to go on to our next entertainment item. Go to GT Metrics and at least run your site through there and fix those issues before you make your announcement.
There you go. Low-hanging fruit.
Yes.
And then, of course, once again, call Amy Phillips at Songkick and just have
sure, sure. That absolutely works as well.
Yeah.
So we're to our last story, which involves a Korean K-pop band, EXO.
Wait a minute.
I love K-pop.
You know who we really should have on to talk about K-pop?
Who?
Test Head. Michael Larson.
Oh, yeah, he might.
Oh, yeah, he is an original K-pop fan.
Yeah.
It's for his daughters, he says.
I get that.
Yeah.
So these K-pop bands are massively popular in Korea. I can't figure it out. Yeah, probably because I don't understand the language. And I have a kimchi issue.
You remember the 90s? We had 98 Degrees and Backstreet Boys, and it's all the same kind of thing. It's you know, it's move product to teenage girls.
Okay. got it. So we have this K-pop band EXO or EXOL, I guess, is their website has reached their fan base. Website has reached 4 million members.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And evidently, someone hard coded a limit at 4 million and one because it crashed after that. And I'm trying to think about why this is the case. And I brought this in not necessarily as a load issue, but a capacity issue. Has someone set an auto numbered field for user identity key, and they've limited the size? So what would be 4 million? That would be. Would that be int, or
big int?
It would be. Would it be big int, only positive?
Yeah.
So
no. Yeah, it's billion for int for 31.
Oh yeah.
To the 31st.
Yeah. So you can definitely go to 4 million, and four bytes. You can go to. Yeah. So I was sorry. I was thinking.
Somebody has created a data point or in storage, which gets exhausted at that point. So I can't for the life of me figure out why someone would do that. So looking at int, big int, small int, tiny int, just from a SQL Server perspective, int gets you a little bit over 4 million if you are just doing positive integers. And it looks like we lost Mark again.
Yeah, continue.
So I'm guessing there's a data database field that's the problem.
Oh no, int goes up to
2,147,000. Oh, that's two billion. Yeah,
2 billion.
So my bad. So it's not that.
Yeah, it's something completely different.
Yeah.
How did you know it was SQL Server?
Well, I didn't. I just happened to look up int, big int, small int, and tiny int. And that was the first article that came up. I'm like, okay, well.
I'm signing up for XOL membership as we speak. If you falsely enter the content, you may receive disadvantage using the service.
There you go. So this is interesting only because, you know, for all we know, this is just they create records.
Yep.
They pre-create, you know, like sparse data.
Yeah. Please hold on while we address a technical issue. One moment, please. One moment, please.
Hey, James.
Hey, they're back.
Eric has signed up. For K-pop.
Oh, excellent.
He's on the EXO thing.
I want to be part of the EXO conglomerate.
You are. You're an EXO fan, man.
And did it blow up on your sign up?
No, it actually went pretty smoothly. I'm waiting for a confirmation email though. So that's a good example of something to process asynchronously. Throw something on a message queue somewhere.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. I mean, as eager as I am, and I continue to pound on my refresh button, it's probably fine if it takes a couple minutes for me to get that confirmation email.
That's right. Yeah, so I wonder if this isn't just a factor of the spike load. It's not an absolute logical limitation in some data field or data type or number of connections. I think it could just be, look, we only really pre-create 1,000 of these a day or 10,000 a day or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we just, it didn't keep up. We didn't pre-create enough and they just blew it out. And it still would like batch pre-create records or something like that, or bump up an ID field. Or I would say I would use an ID field that you don't need to bump up. But in Oracle, you know, you're looking at sequence numbers and you may have to pre-populate sequence numbers from a date perspective to make that work. And it could just be we make N number of day and it just so happens that day hit 4 million and they just ran out. And, you know, tomorrow it might be 4.1 million, 4.2 million
yeah.
because they only pre-create sequence numbers 100,000 a day.
I feel that as a tester, I have to also point out that 4 million could be nothing. That could just be something reported by...
Correct. It could just be a spurious item because EXO and EXOL are going to unite again. And that was just the incentive that it created a point load event where everyone came to sign up to their fan site so they could get concert dates.
Yep.
Hey, we all want to be part of XO Love.
That's right. Awesome. Well, hug ops to the XOs of the world with memberships, XOL. Very nice.
And apologies for our infrastructure issues today. We will have that resolved by our next show.
I don't think
is there news of the dam somewhere where they're talking about how those perf bites guys keep having their live show go down?
Isn't it news of the news of the damned?
News of the news of the damned. We've had a damned show today. That's for certain.
I think I know of that show. I definitely cover it down here. Somebody's got to keep an eye on you guys, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, well.
So anyway, I'm a big K-pop fan. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that.
Huge. Love those guys. Oh, God, just especially with the cavernous echoing down here in the fourth level of hell, it's just reverbs. It's awesome. It's just sound. The sound is amazing. It's beautiful acoustics.
So after 5 years of Gangnam Style continually, has it made you a better dancer? Are the people who are residents of that particular portion of the afterlife getting any closer?
No criticism at all. Gangnam Style was hot. It was totally hot. I mean, that dance was on fire down here. But to be honest, Macarena. Macarena, everybody, every level. I think we couldn't get any torturing done for like 2 or 3 months just because you'd start torturing and then someone would be like, and then boom, the whole place, no more torturing. They're just dancing the Macarena for like a week.
You know what? That is a more appropriate soundtrack. It does sound much worse.
It is, yeah, it does, and it infects your mind, so you can't get anything else done. Gangnam Style, you sort of
do it. Macarena.
See, nice. There you go. Macarena, Macarena. I love it. It's just fantastic. Just love it.
Well, guys, we've come to that point in the show again where we have to say goodbye for a week or two, depending upon how many failures we have.
That's right.
And I'd like to thank my mom for listening. And of course, I'd also like to thank Tim Western and Rafi.
Tim Western and Raf. Yeah. Raf is on there. And Jace.
Jace, thank you. I hope we provided some entertainment as you're out in the ice cream truck.
Coneheads.
Giving out ice cream to kids. And be sure and speak to them about their responsible use of performance monitoring on their websites.
Sugar and carbohydrates.
Yes.
I'll give a special thanks to Satan because he just happens to show up every now and then and just tell wonderful little stories.
Yeah.
You wouldn't normally understand. You know, you wouldn't get those kinds of insights, you know, from somebody who's omnipresent.
And I also want to thank Eric for getting up early on the West Coast, even though it's 9 a.m. there. It's still, you know, it's the West Coast.
Yeah. All right. And yeah, happy Saturday to everybody. Get off, do your chores. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, it's getting hot. In Philly, it's going to be almost 90 today. Nice yep. and humid. Yeah. Really awesome. For more information about Perf Bites, visit the show's Perf Bites website. www.perfbites.com. We're going to go through some redesign for the website this weekend. Yep. Follow us on the Twitter, the Tumblr, the Facebook. You can also subscribe and listen to the Perf Bites podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, testingpodcast.com, and of course Spreaker. You can actually sign up for Spreaker and follow us. We like having more followers. Just open your favorite listening app and search for Perf Bites. Click the subscribe button. And you can also send us an email with your questions or thoughts or anything at ask@perfbites.com. And oddly enough, you can even leave us a voicemail at 77-LOAD-PERF. That's 775-623-7373.
Today's show has been powered by Tree Pollen. How appropriate for this time of year. The Perf Bites show and staff are supporters of the Practical Performance Analyst, the Performance Engineering Book of Knowledge, Test Bash and the Ministry of Testing, the Computer Measurement Group, the Workshop on Performance and Reliability, and of course the Software Test Professionals Community of Software Testers. We always hope to see you at the next STPCon conference for a live Perf Bites and maybe a little bit of adult beverage sampling as well.
One-on-one mentoring sessions. That's what I call
Of course, of course.
You, yeah.
And tasting and performance engineering.
Exactly.
I don't know which drives which to which.
Scotch performance.
If you're a scotch drinker, you're going to be a performance person, or if you're a performance person, you're driven. I don't know. So,
I don't know.
Yeah. So also, shout out, thank you to our sponsors, Neotis and Apica System. Thank you for your listening to the show. Have a great day, and catch us on the next edition of Perf Bites, News of the Damned.
We didn't let Eric say anything, really.
Eric?
You remember Eric, right?
Yes. Tall guy.
I think I contributed when we talked about the scotch tasting part of performance engineering.
Yeah, but you could give a thank you, a shout out, anything. Come on now, James, we just went right through the thing.
Come on.
All right. Well, okay. I guess let's start with a thank you to all of our sponsors on all of our shows. So there's Apica Systems here. There's HPE. There's Flood.io. They all kind of help us keep these podcasts going.
Yeah.
Who am I leaving out?
HP.
Yes.
And do you want to thank your lovely bride?
Oh, I have to thank my lovely bride that I'm even here and somehow gainfully employed. My wife Jackie, thank you very much. She does not listen like Mrs. Pulley, but I know she would if she had the time.
Well, yeah. my mother listens only because I'm on here. Otherwise, she probably would not listen. Oh, and it looks like we lost the guys here at the very end. So on that note, I'm just going to say thank everyone for listening and helping us deal with our technical issues today. We should have these resolved by the next News of the Damned. And
Hey, James.
And we'll give the guys one last thought, and then we'll drop.
Go ahead, Eric.
You know, James, if you would just call your mother, she wouldn't have to podcasting
hear
your voice.
Good point, Eric. Good point.
No guilt. No pressure.
No, I don't get enough guilt from my mother. No.
Yeah. And a special News of the Damn shout out to our friends at Source Connect and the beta version 0.6.4 of the Source Connect. Connect application, which is just throwing a tantrum today.
Yes, it is. We'll be chatting about this at Source Connect. Hug ops
to the Source Connect guys.
Hug ops.
It's like an ISDN connection. We need the version that they called nailed up.
Perfect ending to the show.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.